Today, we close out sort of the Easter season with the celebration of the Ascension, where Jesus ascends back to heaven in front of his apostles. We do that in the milieu of the month of May, which is Mary's month. It's also a month that we see the effects of what happened to the church after Jesus left, in the sacramental life of the church. We're going to have our final First Communion at 1 o'clock today after already having a couple of them. And no sooner do we do that than this week we prepare and have our confirmation classes, receive their confirmation. Yesterday, the Archdiocese of Milwaukee ordained 3 new priests. So in the span of just a whole month, you can almost get an opportunity to see all the sacramental life of the church, which came from all the effects of Jesus ascending into heaven. This feast day is kind of a mixed feeling feast day. Because I always approached it like, okay, Jesus, why did you have to leave so soon? We're happy that Jesus ascends to his lordship because now he's Lord of the universe. He's the head of the body of Christ. He connects us permanently to that divinity of the Trinity that we will celebrate in a couple more weeks. So we kind of understand, you know, if Jesus stayed, we would just keep asking, okay, Jesus, what would you do? Jesus, what would you do? Jesus, what would you do? And he had confidence enough in the church, the apostles, and in us to carry on what he told us to do. But it's also mixed feelings because we're not sure what to do. We often in our lives, we don't have to live very long before we run into a very similar mixed feelings that we have. For many kids, they're going to be graduating or at least moving on in another year. And it's nice. I remember I said my best day of school was the last day of school. Because I said that it was excited, but my worst day was the day after the last day because I didn't know what to do. Some people will be going on to graduations and getting degrees, will be walking with their diplomas, and their parents will be so excited for them, and they'll be thinking, now what do I do? We might have had a really good year with a teacher this year, and we're really so happy to have had such a good year, and now that the year's over, now what do we do? May happen with a job, it can happen with a move, it can happen with a marriage, it can happen with a funeral. What do I do now to see? I could give you like good platitudes and sayings. I could say, all good things must come to an end. That sounds really nice, but all it means to me is misery loves company. Does it really help you except to say, well, we all go through that, so you have to do it too. I could say what that great sage Dr. Seuss said and said, don't cry because it's over, but smile because it happened. Isn't that sweet? Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. And that is a good way to capture and not lose the happiness that we have, even in the milieu of not knowing what we're going to do next. We have a little advantage in that we have, through these whole Easter days, have heard what the apostles did. We heard all the things that they did. We heard how the apostles waited for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit came, and then they all went out. And we heard how sometimes they had 5,000 people convert just by Peter coming and speaking to them. And we also heard how Paul got stones thrown at him when he tried to explain the concept of Jesus resurrected. We heard how the apostles had to figure out, okay, how do we take this message to the Gentiles? How do we take it to the world? Jesus said, take it to the ends of the earth. How do we do that? So they got together as a group and decided what to do. So we heard all that. We also have 2,000 years of church history, some of it not good, but the church's attempt to take the message that the angels gave to the apostles when they watched Jesus ascend to heaven. They said, and I'm going to paraphrase it, "Why are you standing here looking at the sky? Don't you know who you are? There is still so much work to be done, much suffering in the world. Many desperately need to hear the good news. Get to work." That's what was told to the apostles by the two angels, and that's what they did. And that's what liturgically this feast is to tell us, to get to work and what we're supposed to do. So I'm going to tell you what I told the First Communion class. I want you to sit up straight, especially you children. Hold your hands on your lap with your palms open. And while I recite this prayer to you, I want you to just look at your hands. Just look at your hands while I do this. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet for which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. That's a prayer for one of my favorite saints, Saint Teresa of Avila, as she was praying to her people that she knew to tell them what this Feast of the Ascension is all about. And what I told the first communicants is that when they come up and they receive Jesus for the first time in their hands are forever changed. Because when you hold Jesus in your hands, you are the hands of Jesus. So every time you come up for communion and put your hands out, and Jesus is placed in your hands, yours are the hands of Jesus. You just can't go back to your seats and forget that. So what have you done with your hands? Have you been Christ with your hands? As you go forward from this feast day, what will you do with your hands, knowing that they're Christ's hands? When you receive Christ in your hands, you take him and you place him in your mouth. When you do that, your mouth becomes Christ as well. Your voice becomes one of Christ. And what will you do and what have you done with your voice? Have you used it for anger or for words of compassion? Have you used your voice for blaming others, or have you used it for forgiveness? Have you used your voice to say to people, "It's your fault," or have you said, "I'm sorry"? The Feast of the Ascension is to remind us that we now are Christ, fortified in each Eucharist that we get, made stronger in the body of Christ with each Eucharist that we get. You know, at priestly ordinations, our hands are anointed, and we are told that our hands now are special to be able to help and have Jesus come to us and change the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. In a way, every communion you receive, your hands are special. The same way, you receive the body of Christ in your hands. You are the body of Christ. And you consume him I mean, it's just so kind of, oh, you think, well, wow, it's so obvious. Why didn't I think of that? To see. So I want you to think today in this feast day, how have you used your hands? How have you used your voice of Christ in your life? If you're not happy with the way you have, change today. This feast today is a feast for you to come back and say, okay, now I know. Everything that comes out of my mouth and everything that I do with my hands is Christ. Now, you can go out of here and just say, okay, goodbye, Jesus. We'll see you. Thanks for coming. Or you can say, now it's up to me. That's what I'm supposed to do. You heard in the second reading, we all have different gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us all these different gifts. We're made with all these different gifts. But there's one commonality. They're all gifts geared towards Christ. So what are you going to do with your hands as you walk out here today? What are you going to do with your voice? Be Christ. You are Christ. Be Christ to everyone that you meet. Let them see you here, because you are the only body of Christ.